Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's topic is same-sex marriage with Reverend Carolyn DeVito, Roya Millard, entertainer Tim Moss, Sam Levin from the Daily News, and Rob Lesage of Marriage Equality of New York. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will feature a great assortment of South American wines. It will be this Friday, July 29th, from 6 to 11 p.m. at Juliet Supper Club, one of New York's true A-list venues. Admission is free. Juliet Supper Club is located at 539 West 21st Street. It'll be a great night, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show has a fan page on Facebook that contains links to previous shows, as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching The Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. If you haven't heard my animal rescue song, Hoping for Another Morning, you can both hear the song and see the video by going to YouTube and punching Hoping for Another Morning into your browser. My good friend and producer John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254, and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods and or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, we're bringing on our first three guests. The one I kind of know best at this point is Carolyn. She is here with holding hands with her friend here. Were you guys getting married is my first question. What's going on with that?
No, not yet. we've been dating for about 10 months now.
10 months.
So it's a little early.
Or her parents putting pressure on you.
Her dad has a shotgun.
Make me an honest woman.
Your dad has a shotgun, and you're a New Yorker. That's unusual.
He's Italian. It's Staten Island.
That's scary. Okay. And we have Sam here, who, very interesting, working for the Daily News, who has actually been writing a series of articles for the whole past week on, is it Carol and Mimi?
Yes, I've been working on a series on a couple that was preparing for their marriage on the historic day yesterday.
And at the historic Old Homestead.
Yeah, Old Homestead Steakhouse in the Meatpacking District.
Yes, I had Thanksgiving dinner there once about 25 years ago.
Yeah, it's been around a long time.
Yes. So, first, tell me the deal. How did you get hooked up with this couple?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty funny story. My editor sent me to the Marriage Bureau the very first day after Governor Cuomo signed the historic legislation. And so when I got there, I was trying to see if any couples, you know, were really eager in showing up, even though, you know, the law doesn't go into effect until another month. And when I got there, there was this one eager couple, Mimi and Carol. They'd been together for over 20 years from the Lower East Side, had met doing, you know, gay activist work. And so we wrote kind of a cute feature on that. Then the Old Homestead Steakhouse read this article and decided they wanted to give this couple an entirely free wedding reception and ceremony at their restaurant. And after that, it kind of spiraled into this big series I did following the couple, you know, for an entire week leading up to their big wedding, which was yesterday. So it was a lot of fun.
Now, we're going to get back to that with you shortly and hear what the, because you were at the wedding, is this correct?
Yeah, I was at the wedding yesterday.
Okay, and we're going to hear about that. But first, Reverend Carolyn.
Yes, hi there.
Hi, so you are a minister.
I am.
What is your denomination?
Exactly? I'm interfaith.
What does that mean?
I am
exactly?
Everything and nothing. So basically, I support whatever you believe.
You're very zen, aren't you?
I'm very zen. But I'm also Jewish, Buddhist, Hindu, Islamic, everything you can name. Also, atheist. Like, I'm there to support you.
The atheist minister.
That's right.
I'm going to your church. I don't even know where it is or what it does, but
do
it sounds
church.
Like I could do whatever I want. So.
My church is the streets.
The church of the streets. Well, some of my best times were out in the streets, though. Okay, now, what made you decide that that's what you wanted to do? What made you become a minister? It sounds like it was pretty no-brainer. You don't have to do anything different. You're marrying women. You're hanging out in the street. I mean, no problem.
Right. Well, actually, I have a calling story. Do you want to hear my calling story?
I do. I would.
Okay. So, I just graduated from college. It was an all-women's college, Bryn Mawr College. Shout out. And I graduated like most people, no idea what I'm going to do. So I'm you know, Googling what I could possibly do with a religion and English major. And I'm starting to fall asleep. So I've been Googling it for hours. I'm hopeless at this point. And as I'm falling asleep, I hear in my mind, interfaith minister. Now, I have no idea what this means.
You were exhausted is what
I was exhausted. I needed to sleep after finals is what that meant. But so I don't know what this means. My cousin years ago got married by an interfaith minister. I mean, didn't know anything about it. Woke up, Googled it, and was like, you know what? I think so. I go to my father, who's been dying to get me to be, you know, a professor of something. And he's like, yes, that's what you need to do, which is so out of character. And since then, I've just, you know, before I started training, I was asking around, and everyone's like, yes, you need to be an interfaith minister.
So you were up all night and exhausted, which
right.
is how you ended up a minister. It's lucky I never studied.
Right.
Or who knows?
Or else who knows what you would have been.
Exactly.
Dangerous stuff.
Okay, now, Sam, I want to hear about the wedding yesterday. What was the deal with that?
Yeah, so the old homestead really kind of redid their entire restaurant and made it into a kind of wedding reception. And, you know, they put out candles and had a big walkway. They had about 50 guests there, and it was entirely comped on the house as sort of this nice give back to this couple and as their way to sort of celebrate the historic legislation. And they even gave the couple a limo for the entire day. So, you know, I followed the couple all day long. I met them at 6 a.m. in their house. We took this limo over to the Marriage Bureau, where there's kind of a whole big media scene there and tons of top couples, you know, eager to get their licenses. And then we went to this really nice party, and it was actually pretty emotional for the couple. And yeah, it was a really good time. And, you know, for this couple that's been around for so long, they were sort of surprised at how meaningful it was to have this ceremony. You know, they thought they never really needed marriage. You know, they knew their love for each other, and this wasn't going to make a difference. But they found that it was really actually very emotional to have this ceremony.
So the free party paid off, huh?
Yeah, the free party definitely paid off. And they even got a free offer for a honeymoon in Costa Rica. So, I mean, once this story kind of started spreading, different businesses were seeing this couple and wanted to offer them whatever they could, including this really posh resort in Costa Rica. So that was really awesome.
I wasn't invited to any of this.
I tried to get an invite as well.
Really? I could have been a big shot. Okay. Now, today's society has kind of moved away from organized religion. How has that made your work more challenging? Probably not much, because it doesn't sound like you're putting a lot of demands on people. But.
Right. Well, the amazing thing is that most people I speak to identify as spiritual, not necessarily associated with any organized religion. And I find that I am ministering to spiritual people, not, you know, there's no particular religious book that they're working with. There aren't doctrines they're working with. So I'm there to just honor life. The experience of living and encourage people to enjoy it. And that's the message that keeps coming up in the services I do, and really what people are hungry for. They don't want to hear about, you know, what you know, John and Luke said. They want to know what's relevant to their lives right now. And if they do want to hear what John and Luke said, then we can make that relevant too. But I mean, as for people that are moving away from religion, I'm there for them. And I think if you want to have a baptism, if you are raised with baptism, you have a child and you want some kind of blessing, I can offer that blessing. And it doesn't have to be in the same context. We can totally reimagine what it means to bless a child and what we want to say to that child when that child's born and what your marriage can look like outside of a church.
Now, Roya, what's your feelings on religion here and Carolyn's whole take on this? What's going on?
It's funny. I think I'm the more traditional one of the two of us. I actually went to an Anglican seminary for a couple of years. I grew up very active in the church, and I consider myself a Christian. That's part of my self-identification. So it's been interesting because she is the Reverend, is less doctrinal and based around a liturgy than I am, and it's been really interesting. It's definitely broadened my understanding of what religion is, what spirituality is, what God is, and it's really wonderful because I've seen a number of services that she's done, and I initially went in not sort of knowing what to expect and wondering, well, this is, thinking this is going to be something totally different, and realizing that in these things that she was saying and in the blessings she was doing and all that, I was connecting so deeply with my history and my background. It was just a slightly different vocabulary.
Now, since you had somewhat of a religious upbringing, at what point did you realize that men were not for you?
I knew that pretty much from an embryonic stage.
Really?
Yeah.
We looked bad even then, huh?
Well, no, it's not that you look bad. You were great. I just wanted to play football with you, not date you.
Okay.
And that really is... in first grade, I was the girl on the playground playing touch football with the boys.
Does Carolyn have a good arm or what?
She can't throw to save her life. But,
cheerleader?
No, she's sort of in the library writing her sermons.
but in all seriousness, how did that, you know, were you Catholic, basically?
No, I'm Episcopalian.
Okay. Now, they're pretty straight-laced, and they're teaching homosexuality as a sin, and you knew you had those feelings. How did that work out in your head?
The Episcopal Church is actually the first to ordain an openly gay bishop, Gene Robinson, who's up in New Hampshire, and the Episcopal Church also ordains married priests and they ordain women. So as far as the denomination I was in, it was a pretty accepting one. But the Christian doctrine as a whole, it has that in it. It also says that I'm going to go to hell because I have a tattoo. And it says that, you know, if you die, your wife has to marry your brother or else we all get to stone her. So
I'm an only child.
Well,
is that going to create any problems?
No, God can handle that. It's cool. But, there's a lot in there. And I wasn't raised being taught the hate. I was raised being taught the love. And so that, you know, when I started having crushes on people and they weren't boys, it really wasn't... It was more societal pressure than religion.
Now, Carolyn, you were at the festivities yesterday at the Marriage License Bureau. At least you told me you were going to be. What was that whole scene like?
It was amazing. But can I add something to what Roya just
said?
Sure. I was actually raised Catholic and was raised with a lot of the hate. And
when did you know it was, not going to work out for you?
Well, actually, I'm bi, so everything works out.
So you are very flexible overall.
I'm flexible.
Good. I like that in a woman.
I love everyone. All right. So, back to Catholicism, which very much reminds me of that. I had to question the nature of God, and I could not believe that God would hate people. Like, that didn't make sense in my mind. There's a poet, Andrea Gibson, who said, "Any God worth calling God is a God that loves queers." And I got to believe that's true. And so I needed to start questioning what I was being told. And that's really what led to what I'm doing now, is that I tried to reimagine what I've been told and make it really check in with what felt true. And my job is to honor what feels true for everyone, because I think there's something to that.
Okay.
So going back to the festivities.
Yeah, what went on yesterday?
It was just a beautiful day. It really felt like we're all family. There was a countdown when the first couple was married, and it was like New Year's. Like, it was like, the lid had been blown off. We're free now, somehow. And with every couple that came out married, that now were husband and husband, wife and wife, it really felt like parts of ourselves were being healed. It was just an amazing experience. Like, pieces of ourselves were coming together that could not have come together before. And now that we were accepted in a new way in our own society, in our own city.
Now, Sam, I know you were at the wedding last night.
Yes.
Were you involved in any of this up earlier in the day?
Or? Yeah, I was at the Marriage Bureau earlier in the day when my couple was getting their license and going through their ceremony. And I was actually at the Marriage Bureau all day today as well for the Daily News, working on assignments. So I've definitely seen kind of the excitement, and it's really is pretty touching when you see all these couples come out. And they're just so overjoyed. And you know, if you talk to these couples, they really do kind of reiterate that sense of community that they found being at the Marriage Bureau all together. You know, I talked to one couple today who said yesterday's celebration was kind of like being the guest at 800 weddings all at once or something. And that's sort of what it felt like to her, because you do have all these, you know, literal simultaneous weddings going on at once in the different, you know, chapels of the Marriage Bureau. And I think for some of these couples that have been around, you know, been together for decades, it's really kind of touching to get this recognition and have the support from your hometown.
Now, did both of you, because you were both down there, what was the protest situation? Because I know there was going to be some.
Yeah. The Westboro Baptist Church was there. I'm not sure if there were any other hate groups. But the really beautiful thing was that a lot of LGBTQ supporters and LGBTQ people were down there with umbrellas. And the purpose of the umbrellas was to block out this hate group from sight of the couples that were waiting online to go get married. And so we're all standing there, not raining at all, in sweltering heat, holding these umbrellas just so people didn't have to see hate on their wedding day.
I bet they saw sweat.
Yeah, they saw sweat.
And it was quite small, right? In the morning, it was really embarrassingly small from what I could tell, the protest. It was just, they weren't loud, and they were kind of sanctioned off to another side. It really didn't cause a distraction from what I saw.
We got there right at the very beginning, and there were four people. They each were holding about five signs each. And then they wound up leaving. I didn't even notice they were gone. And there was just one man left who had a sign that said, bad idea.
Yeah, I saw
and he was just walking in circles around the neighborhood.
And there were about like 15 or 20 supporters with umbrellas, so we far outnumbered.
Someone just wrote in, the umbrella, clever.
Yeah.
We can get you one, by the way, if you write to Reverend Carolyn and send a check for $9. Oh, okay, well, we're actually going to have to go to a commercial break shortly. When we come back, we're going to hear more about yesterday's festivities and about tomorrow's as well, because there's a big event tomorrow. I expect to see you all there. Well, they expect to see you there. I'll be in bed, but we'll be back.
Hi, this is Marianne Morrison. Join me, uncensored and live, with entertaining and provocative guests from celebrities to world-renowned entrepreneurs with hot topics and hot talk. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. High Definition Digital Radio, broadcasting to the world. Only on the Chentani Broadcasting Network. Chentani.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
I am Carol Ward from The Carol Ward Show. Listen to my show every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for ideas, insight, and information that will help you live a healthier life in body, mind, and spirit. You'll hear from terrific guests, experts in the areas of health, psychology, business, and the arts, who'll share their best tips and strategies just for you. So join me on The Carol Ward Show every Wednesday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Chentani Broadcasting Network, high definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we're back. I did want to ask Carolyn a couple of technical questions. I know before marriage was allowed, there were these things called civil unions, right? Like, what is the difference?
Yeah, now that she doesn't know, I did a lot of research on this in the past couple
days. She may not be a good athlete, but she just passed the ball nicely.
She did. She did. The big difference between marriage and civil union is that civil union really is something that's just made up. It's made up from state to state. There's no set list of benefits that you get, rights that you get. So a civil union in New Jersey could be a totally different thing than a civil union in Pennsylvania. But really with marriage, the difference that we're talking about going from state to state is the gender of the people involved. Before it became legal in New York, New York would recognize out-of-state marriages. So you could go to Connecticut, come back, and they would recognize your marriage. There is that, you know, that element of if you're married, you're married. And if it's a civil union, if you ask people on the street what is a civil union, most people won't know. Because it really is something that's just invented to be something that's the same but not.
Also, I mean, a civil union spiritually and psychologically is not the same as a marriage.
What are the actual legal benefits that these couples are getting?
Yeah.
The problem is that there's state-specific laws and then there are federal laws. So when you file your tax returns, you file state taxes and then you file federal taxes. Now couples in New York who are married will file a joint tax return, but then when they file their federal taxes, they're single. So there's still that schism between what is legal by the state and what's legal by the federal government. If we were in a civil union and we had to fill out forms, the choices are divorced, married, single. I can't lie on legal documents, so I'd have to put that I'm single because I'm not married. Even though I'm in this...
Well, like, what is the actual benefit? What are you getting out of this?
In marriage?
Yes, in marriage.
There's a lot of protection. The laws protect you. If the lease of our apartment is in my name, and the lease runs out and you want to renew it, but if we're married, you can renew the lease, even though it's in my name. If we were a civil union couple, technically you're not connected to me, so you can't legally continue the lease. Things like that.
Rights at a hospital visit.
Rights at a hospital visit.
Couples will cite a lot.
In court, legally, you have the right of privacy between a married couple. You can't be called to testify against and incriminate your spouse. That's not something that, you know, same-sex couples would be allowed to do. Little things like that that you really don't necessarily see day-to-day but are so crucial to keeping someone going, especially when their partner, when their spouse is in trouble, when they're sick, when they're dying.
Now, somebody just wrote in an interesting question. Are there any gay people against this?
Against marriage?
Against gay marriage.
There are people that are against the concept of marriage itself. So there are people that think that it's an old concept of giving away a woman or basically selling off a woman to another person. And that concept of marriage doesn't feel good. But if it's people, I don't think there are people against gay people specifically getting married.
Yeah. Now, here's a question since we have a member of the media here other than me.
Yes.
There's been obviously a lot of coverage of this. What do you guys think of the job that's been done so far? And we're going to want to know from you too, Sam, but let them rip you to shreds first, and then we'll get
sure.
to you.
I think that they've been doing a pretty good job, but I think that a lot has been missing about what's led up to this. So there are lots of, you know, activists working tirelessly, lots of lobbyists, lots of, you know, behind-the-scenes work that didn't get the attention that I think it deserved. I mean, this wasn't magic. This happened from a lot of hard work. And I wish that people saw that more.
All right. Now, before we get any further, because we're starting to run short on time, I want to talk about tomorrow's festivities. What's going on?
So there'll be free marriages in Washington Square Park tomorrow, 9 to 5. And there'll be a bunch of officiants on hand. If you have your license and you're a same-sex couple, you're welcome to come down, and we will marry you. And there will be some vendors that are offering their services. I think we'll have some cupcakes donated. There'll be photographers taking free wedding photos. In general, if you want to come down and just support the event, support the couple, celebrate with us, please do. This is all love donation. Nobody's getting paid for this. This is all just because we want to be there, because we just want to be a part of this moment and really celebrate with the people that have waited so long.
Now, who organized this event?
Yeah, Reverend Annie Lawrence and Reverend Will Mercer were the brilliant minds and spirits behind this event. And, I mean, the love that they have is just amazing. And this is coming from such a wonderful place.
And just a side note, Reverend Annie Lawrence was the officiant at the wedding that I was following for weeks, you know.
And, oh, and that's who I spoke to, who hooked me up with Carolyn. See,
right.
The synchronicity of the universe.
Right.
That's what I like to say. So, were there any legal hurdles involved in getting this done in Washington Square Park?
We needed a permit. That's about it.
So they didn't give you a hard time?
No, it went pretty smoothly. Yeah.
Now, can people still, this late hour, get involved in this if they want?
Sure. If you want to get married, you would need a license. Otherwise, if you want to be a vendor and just offer your services, you can contact me at everythingsacred@gmail.com. That's everythingsacred@gmail.com.
And if you're a member of the media, such as our
like
here.
Sam.
Like Sam. I'm working as the media director, correspondent person. So if anybody's hearing this, wants to cover it, wants to come down and see what's going on, please find me and I'll get your information and set you up.
How late is this going, actually?
It's 9 to 5.
It's ironic because I have to go down for a wedding rehearsal thing. I'm in a bridal party, and I'm going to be in the city tomorrow, so maybe I'll come down early.
That'd be great.
But mine is going to be between a man and a woman. Is that okay?
That's absolutely fine. Love is love.
Are you going to be the maid of honor?
No, I have to do a stupid dance, actually.
Okay. Can you do a stupid dance at our event?
Say what?
Can you do a stupid dance at our event?
I don't think so, unless
you
get a guy to train. only if your father's firing a shotgun at my feet.
Fair enough.
But, okay, so it's not too late.
No.
So, is there any kind of reception afterwards? Like, what are you guys going to do for fun?
As Reverend Carolyn mentioned, there's a number of vendors who are donating their time, their energy, their wares to the group. So, as each couple is married, and they are being married individually, it's they're getting individual attention. It's not mass weddings. So, as each couple gets married, they will get, the free cupcakes that have been brought down. There's someone who is donating gift bags. Another person is donating wedding announcements. So each couple will have their own small ceremony, and then following that, a celebration with whoever is there in the square.
Someone wrote in that I need more practice dancing. How the hell do you know? Although I will say this wedding is going to be at Thanksgiving, and I'm learning it now, which tells you how much work I need, but that's another story. So are you going to be covering this, Sam? Are you going to be down tomorrow for...
I won't, week? Actually. I work in the Queens Bureau of the Daily News in the latter half of the week, so... But I'm sure that the Daily News will be there, and as will probably many other media outlets.
Queens, it somehow seems there's some sort of poetry involved in that, don't you think?
Possible coincidence.
So you went from a gay marriage of two women, and now you're going to basically be working with Queens.
Exactly. I switch back and forth. But I actually did write a story that I think is being published tomorrow about a Queens couple that's marrying after, you know, being together for a long time, and they also got kind of a free wedding in a Sunnyside restaurant. So
it's wonderful.
It's a story in every borough.
It's really awesome to see how many people in the city, how much of the city is coming forward to really support this community and say, you know, we want to give back. We want to give you these things. And it just all over the city, the cops who were helping yesterday were so wonderful and supportive. Just congratulating the couples as they came out. Everyone was excited. And it seems like all over the city, that's the feeling.
Okay, well, that sounds good. We're actually going to go shortly, but I think we will keep Reverend Annie here Reverend Carolyn, who to preside over the possible marriage of Tim and his friend over there. No, actually, his friend just got married yesterday, and we're going to hear about that. But and Sam, we may bring back later, so you guys hang around. We're going to go to a commercial break now. If someone needs to get a hold of you guys for this thing tomorrow, give us again the info.
So it's everythingsacred@gmail.com, everythingsacred@gmail.com, and you can visit my website, www.everythingsacred.com.
And that's two S's also, everything's sacred. Oh.
And there's also an event page at engagedweddings.com, that's engagedweddings.
Engaged. How is clever. Okay. So, Sam, and if someone wants to get in touch with you, have you cover some exciting story, what do they do?
They can reach out to me via email at samt11@gmail.com.
Samt11, okay.
You got it.
Okay, we're going to go to commercial break, and we're going to be back with the legendary Tim Moss and more.
You're listening to the Centanni Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world. Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian-American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo-Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's GIAMONDO.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show. 60s, 70s garage psych and funk you can't hear anywhere else. Mixed in with a lot of fun.
This is Nurse Cheryl. Listen to the Garage Mania Show on the Centanni Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio
broadcasting
to the world.
Okay, we're back with my old friend, Tim Moss.
Well, thank you, but I'm not old.
Trust me, you're old. I went to your 50th birthday party not long ago.
Yes, you did.
You're young compared to me, unfortunately, but it's another sad story.
How have you been?
I've been okay. Wonderful. Carolyn's taking good care of me. She's ministering to me.
Good.
Sending you healing energy.
You've got a lot of work to do, sweetheart. Okay. And we've got Rob, who actually got married yesterday, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yay!
Not to me, but... To someone.
To someone else.
Not to Tim either.
No.
Although me and Carolyn were starting to have a connection, so I don't know what's going to go on by the end of the show, but that scared her. Okay, so Rob, tell me about your experience. What went on with you yesterday?
Yesterday was a great day.
I'm a little close to the microphone.
It was a great day yesterday to get married. It was hot, but it was great to be with all those people that wanted to get married, on that day that it was legal to marry your partner. No matter who they were. Because there was a lot of straight couples and gay couples that were there. So it was a great day.
How did the straight couples react to all of this? Did they just fit in comfortably or what?
Yeah, I thought they fit in perfectly, right?
I hadn't even thought of that.
They just blended right in. I really think the message of all this is that love is love. It really is. You can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
The message is love, and then they turn around and inject marriage into that and ruin everything. That's my denomination, the denomination of...
I honor you.
Yeah, see, she likes that. I knew we were going to get along. Now, Tim.
Yes, Andy.
Do you have anyone special with you at this point in your life?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, uh-uh.
Back to Rob. No. No, Tim, so how have you felt about this whole gay marriage process?
Well, it's really interesting. I thought it's an amazing time in our history. I grew up, as you know, in... Middle America, small town, Indiana. Actually, I grew up on the countryside, the corner of a cornfield and a beanfield. You know that corner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The corner of cornfield and beanfield.
And I grew up at a time where nobody even mentioned the word gay or homosexual, and I had no idea that other people out there thought or felt the way I did. And yesterday was... It occurred to me because I got to see my first gay wedding at the CT cruise line, or a cruise that we were taking around the city. And it occurred to me, because I started crying while I'm watching this, it was so beautiful, because we are equal now. It's like we're accepted as everybody else for the first time. That's how I felt yesterday. It was amazing.
Oh, so you, even though you're not in the process of marriage at the moment, you still felt very vindicated by this whole situation,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't feel less than or that I was wrong.
Oh, you're
wrong
more than.
Or,
yeah.
What's that?
You're more than. You'll always be more than to me. How have you reacted to your now entry into the fifth decade? Has that affected you at all?
Oh my gosh,
I was at Tim's
yeah.
50th birthday party
yes.
not long ago.
And it was fun.
It was
a lot of fun. And that was the perfect indication of how my 50s are going to be. It's going to rock.
Well, we'll put an end to that before long.
Yeah.
So how did you guys know each other, by the way?
Through
Marriage Equality, the mm-hmm. group I belong to. I'm a board member for Marriage Equality in New York, and we're a grassroots organization that was, you know, promoting and trying to get marriage in New York State, and that's how I met Tim.
So what does your organization do exactly?
Well, we, through the grassroots, are working with people. We just try to get everybody to learn who their, you know, their senator or assembly person was and educate them on marriage and why it's important that we should be equal and not be treated like a second-class citizen in New York. And the organization's been around for 14, 15 years, so it's been fun ride.
So it's primarily dealing with the whole gay issue,
right.
I assume.
Well, just focused on marriage equality.
You know, the rest of us could always get married if we were forced to.
If you... True.
I heard about Carolyn's dad there, so... Anyway, so Carolyn, do you know anything about his organization, or is this
I do, yeah. Many is really well known. Rock on Many.
What have you worked with them at all? Are they involved in any of the stuff you're doing tomorrow?
I don't believe so, but you should be.
Okay.
Yeah, how can we get Rob
Square?
More involved?
It's Washington Square.
Or Washington Square Park.
Are you going down there tomorrow, too?
No. I'm not getting married, so.
I'm not getting married either. I might stop by, hang out.
All are welcome to come and celebrate and smile and clap.
I love it.
And if we remember, you know, as you were saying, it just feels so good to feel accepted and celebrated and supported. I mean, I'm so committed to giving these couples the best wedding I could possibly give them. So everyone come down and love them.
And if any of the marriages between two of these women break up, I might catch someone on the rebound.
I've never heard of a conversion story in that direction, but good luck to you.
Hey, I got to do the best I can. Okay, so tell us a little more about what you plan for tomorrow.
Sure.
Because Tim wants to see what he's missing.
So we're going to do our best to offer as personalized ceremonies as we can, and it depends how many couples show up. But it's really important to us that we take the time to honor each individual couple. This is not a conveyor belt, friends, not at all. This is a wedding. People have waited long enough. And we're going to do the best to use the language that even people are comfortable with. I mean, depending on what religion you're associated with, if you're not associated with religion, you are welcome, and we're ready to celebrate you however we can. And we're just so proud to be a part of it and to be in this moment, in this time. Mm-hmm. God, what a miracle to be alive now.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you, actually. The ceremony is going to vary based on faith?
We'll do our best to personalize. Of course, we're not going to say anything that offends. The ceremony as it is very open and just honoring of human and love and the basics, you know. If we want to add in God, we can, of course, make that request easily. And we'll do our best to make it as personalized as we can. The more couples that show up, we might be, you know, we can't rewrite a whole ceremony for you, but we will absolutely do our best. We're all committed to giving everyone a beautiful day.
Now, Tim, how old were you when you realized that, you know, ladies weren't for you?
Well, I mean, it was an unusual upbringing, because we didn't have, like, Will and Grace on TV or the local gay community or anything like that. I started noticing at an early age, but society was always telling me that was wrong. And, you know, I grew up, I had a girlfriend in high school, we had a healthy sex life, and, but when I started, you know, like, fantasizing about her brother, then I started really questioning things here.
Interesting. I mean, that was a while ago, so that must have been pretty difficult for you growing up.
It was extremely difficult.
In the Midwest. Well, can you give us, like, a bad experience? Because now that people have kind of achieved a little more equality, I want to get a sense of what people, you know, overcame.
Hmm. I can't think of a specific example. There was quite a few of them. I always had a fear, always had a terrible fear of actually approaching men. simply because I didn't know if I would get beat up, if I would get stoned or beaten with a bat or run over or drug behind a truck or something. Or so it was that frightening to me. So
someone actually just wrote in, where did Tim grow up? I guess there must be more
Indiana.
Than one intersection of corn and wheatfield.
Yeah. Indiana, north central Indiana.
Okay, and is that a particularly conservative area? I don't think of Indiana as being so conservative compared to some places.
If your landmarks are a cornfield and a, what was it, it's probably pretty conservative.
Well, there's no one there to be conservative in a cornfield.
Well, the thing is that my parents grew up there, and they, basically my father lived about a half a mile. He built the house that I grew up in from the house that he grew up in. Right. And so they just tried to pass on to me what their knowledge of life was. You know, you grew up, you married a girl, and then you had children, and you moved a half a mile down the road and built a house, and so on and so on and so on and so on. And my brother grew up, and he did that in a sense, you know, and my sister grew up, and she got married and had kids, and then there was Tim.
Yes, who just never grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
That was my problem, the whole growing up part was unacceptable. So, Rob, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Long Island. I grew up actually in Port Jeff, Long Island.
Now, what did you have to deal with growing up?
I mean, I guess a little bit similar to Tim. I mean, I dated girls through, you know,
high school.
You
just look like a tough guy from Long Island. I don't know.
I look like
wouldn't necessarily expect you to be gay.
I used to get that a lot, that they would be like, you know, this is a
that
private party.
I don't think that people would automatically look at you and go, here's a gay guy, let's beat him up, right? I mean, you probably had to listen to a lot of the negative comments without people even realizing what your orientation
was. Well, I would just correct him sometimes. I would just say, you know, I don't really like that kind of humor or whatnot. I would just, like, put it out that I wasn't. But at that time, I wasn't really sure where I was going. I just didn't like to hear that negative comments most of the time, that's all.
Okay. So you never had to deal with any actual violence, though, I think.
Not really, no. Not anything because of being gay, no. No.
Yeah.
No one really, yeah, like you said, no one respected.
Well, Tim is a rather large fellow, so he might not be picked on.
I wasn't always.
You weren't.
Tall and thin, yeah.
Did you ever deal with any, living out there in the sticks?
No,
anybody ever beat you with a corn, part of the cornfield or anything?
No.
Did they ever stalk you? Tim reported a stalker.
No, I didn't. I also, like in school, got called faggot and all of this, you know, that. But it was really weird because in the middle of all of that, I ended up, I mean, my brother played basketball. My father played basketball. They forced me to play basketball. I hated basketball. I wanted to be a cheerleader. And a baseball. I played Little League for I don't know how many years. I hated it. It was torture. They tried their best to make me like the little boy that could, and I just couldn't. And but I did end up being a cheerleader.
You were a cheerleader.
I swear to God, yes, I did.
You must have been great at picking the girls up and spinning them around.
Oh no, I did all the flips and stuff.
Really?
I ended up actually, but because
did you crush any
be,
woman on the way down ever?
No, this was before all of those, but. I didn't actually become a cheerleader, but I approached the head of the cheerleaders and said I want to learn how to do back handsprings, so how about if I become the mascot? And they said, we need a mascot. That would be perfect. So I became a mascot, but then they started including me. I just did everything with the cheerleaders. I was an extra cheerleader.
You were a mascot. What kind of costume did they put
on?
Oh,
I didn't have one. All I had was a shirt that said Astro.
This is like a poor boy's mascot? Couldn't they shell out for a costume?
Nope, uh-uh.
Couldn't they make you into, like, you know, a bear or something?
Yeah.
Nothing?
Nope, uh-uh. But the weird thing was,
disappointing.
Because I would be the one that would, like, run down the football field and do the back handsprings in front as the team came out. And on the basketball court, and the cool thing was after I learned how to do that, because they were always giving me crap for while I was practicing or learning it, and a lot of the jocks eventually started going, hey Tim, that's really cool what you do there, you know, blah, 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 after I finally learned it, so I was like, I guess accepted.
Now the more important question, was this team any good?
No.
No, good.
But I had a lot of spirit. That
but
was what
you
I
were
wanted
fabulous.
To do. I was.
Now, Rob, what was your experience with the whole hate thing yesterday? Because I know you said that you were down there.
Well, it wasn't that bad. It was like 12 of them from the Westboro Baptist Church, and they were just, you know, spewing their hate as they normally do. But, I mean, it kind of was overshadowed by the, you know, some 800 people that were there to get married. So it was just like a mute point. They were across the street. So it wasn't really any bad interaction there. And the cops were really great. They did a good job of separating them from us.
They did. So you felt that the police were, you know, helpful?
They were very helpful.
Any of them getting married?
No, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Two guys in a uniform at any point? No.
No.
I've had that fantasy.
Was anyone wearing anything unusual?
Yeah, there was a lot, yeah.
We had those two roller girls.
Well, right.
She had wings, mm-hmm. You know, white outfit. What was...
And then there were the guys from the Imperial Court that were dressed
That's
as
right.
kings, right?
Mm-hmm. Not too many. I mean, comparatively few. It wasn't like pride at all.
No.
People
it was
were
mostly like khaki pants, a shirt, some kind of a tie, and that was really the
Right,
the
that was
bulk
the dress
of it.
Code.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Right. The uniform.
We're going to go to a commercial break and come back with more hilarity, and we're going to bring Sam back in to give us some words from the media. We'll be back.
This is Ivy Love from L.A. to the U.K. www.ivylovemusic.com. High definition digital radio broadcasting to the world. Centenni Broadcasting.
If you love jazz, check out These Things We Dig, a new CD by jazz sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James Aldean on Sexton Records. James Aldean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Fonella, Phil Jones, Bob De Benedette, Ron Naspo, and Wayne Dunton. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's C-E-X-T-O-N.com. You can find out more about James Aldean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz, it's Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com. Do you love great homemade Italian food? Do you hate the long wait at fancy restaurants or the overpriced menus? Then check out Giovanna's Restaurant on the Upper East Side, East Harlem, at 1567 Lexington Avenue between 100 and 101st Street. Giovanna's has fine homemade pastas, meat dishes, artisan pizzas, all handcrafted by Master Chef Fernando Davino. Giovanna's also features a selection of over 200 wines. Experience great food, friendly service, sensible prices, and no long waits at Giovanna's. Local delivery is also available. Call 212-360-6300 for more information. Giovanna's Restaurant is just 3 short blocks north of the 6th train 96th Street subway station. Street parking is also available. Centenni Broadcasting loves Giovanna's. That's why we broadcast live from here. Check out Giovanna's Restaurant at 1567 Lexington Avenue between 100 and 101st Street. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, we're back, and I wanted to say someone wrote in, loved him. He is a very entertaining guest,
oh,
so
thank you.
Having a big family is helpful when doing these shows, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, the previous show before mine, Bill Russo asked me to read a plug for something he's apparently passionate about, The Art of Brooklyn. A festival of film, music, and art will take place from August 20th to 27th at St. Francis College Theater, 180 Repson Street, Brooklyn, New York. And the website is theartofbrooklyn.com. So check out theartofbrooklyn.com, folks. I did want to ask all you guys something on a kind of a serious note. 2 clerks upstate both resigned rather than have to sign any marriage certificates for same-sex marriages over their own religious beliefs. How does everybody feel about that? Sam, you're a media guy. Tell us something.
I'm a media guy, which means I don't have opinions.
Oh! I gotta write that down. Because up till
or
now,
I keep
I've had
them
too
to
much
myself.
To
but I am a news reporter. I think it's an interesting story, definitely, and I think it's, yeah, I think it's interesting.
Okay.
But they may be better answering.
Tim always has something to say. Tell us something.
Well, I say we got two bigots down. As far as I'm concerned, all the bigots, fine, quit, go, get out of the way.
All right, but now they may get their hands on Carolyn's dad's gun and go looking for some real trouble.
Load up, Dad.
Dad, lock that up.
I thought it was really interesting because I remember when Carolyn went down to get her license to officiate, and her comment was, this is so amazing. These people's jobs all day long is to celebrate love. And all they do all day long is they sit there and they issue paperwork that's about love. And it's so amazing. And can you imagine if that was your job? How fantastic. And then, you know, a month later, we hear about these two women who, it's, you know, it's, it baffles me that somebody would see someone in love and immediately be filled with hate and rage. So much so that they would rather not get a paycheck anymore.
Right.
You know, my livelihood, I don't care. I can't, you know, you fill me with so much rage because you want to kiss him that I'm going to go home and not have a job anymore.
You're very well spoken, Roy. What do you do in real life anyway? What's your story?
In real life, I work for a nonprofit organization called YAI Network, and I do PR and marketing and media work for people with disabilities, intellectual and developmental disabilities.
I have a very bad sense of direction. Can you help me at all?
I've only just met you, but you seem beyond help. I'm sorry.
That's a good point. Carolyn, so what's your reaction to these two ladies?
I think it's unfortunate. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. I don't understand it. I don't understand what motivates these crazy decisions. Like Roya said, I don't understand how seeing two people in love can make you angry. I mean, I think that love can do some pretty amazing things, and I think love has done some things that I don't understand, but have been magnificent. And I think love is just powerful like that. It just affects people, and sometimes it affects people in different ways. But I think that these responses are moving something in us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that it's scratching up against the edges of people, and I think it's making way for something. And I guess I have to believe, maybe it's because I'm, you know, a spiritualist. Not spiritualist, but spiritual, that this is all working something out of our systems.
Yeah.
And I think maybe not in this generation, but maybe the next one. Mm-hmm. Maybe the one after that. But I think ultimately we are getting closer to love. I mean, and we're getting closer to accepting each other.
I like the way she looks at me when she says that. Very exciting.
I will also say that I spoke to the city clerk this morning in Manhattan, and he was saying that staff morale was higher than it's ever been, and you know, that their staff is working, you know, extra hours, and you know, they're just genuinely very excited by this opportunity to see all these couples and just to have, you know, mm-hmm. just so many people coming in who are so excited about it. And so that was pretty, you know, interesting to see how excited he was too as well.
Another quick note, sorry.
Yes.
It's wonderful that there's only two people.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, how many more are mm-hmm. joyful and are invigorated by this? We've come so far, guys. I mean, I know there's work to go, but two out of how many? We're getting closer. We are.
Now, what is it you said you were working on, Carolyn? You had some kind of thing I didn't understand going on.
Well, what I really want to do is celebrate with the LGBT community the events that are important to LGBT community that have been overlooked spiritually. So I want to do coming out rituals for kids. I mean, adults, young adults. I want to do trans renaming ceremonies for people who are beginning, in the middle of, at the end of, whatever the end means, of their transition, so that they can now celebrate with their family and say, this is me, look at my truth, look who I am, and we can celebrate that. The same thing with coming out ceremonies. Imagine if each of you, being gay, were met with a ceremony when you said, Mom, Dad, I'm gay. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, let's make the invitation.
Yeah.
Pink. Do you like pink, boy?
That's
you know?
Just a better outfit.
I mean, this is. I think we're. Why not? Why not? These are amazing opportunities. These are huge life events, and I'm honored to celebrate them. And it's really all about talking to the person and saying, what does this mean to you? How can I support you? What, especially for trans people, what do you see yourself as? Who are you? Tell me. What's your name? What a sacred act of tell me your name, and I will say it back to you.
Wow.
and we'll all say it back to you. And we will celebrate that you finally came into your identity, the truth of you.
I think we just heard one of Carolyn's sermons.
Amen.
I'm uplifted.
Glory.
Here I am, a straight man surrounded by five homosexuals, and all kinds of things are happening. I don't know what it is. Carolyn's hand is on my knee.
That's what's my hand.
Tim, hands on the table, Sam. Hands on the table. Sam is blushing. God knows what's going on with Rob. Very exciting. And we've all grown together. So, Sam, what's next for you? What are you covering for the news coming up?
You know, I'm a general assignments reporter, so it's generally crime and mayhem and murder, what I usually do. So as I'm telling people, to be on this story about love and about this couple falling for a week has been a complete joy just compared to what I usually do, which
I live in Brooklyn. Come visit me.
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn often. But yeah, I kind of go wherever they send me, so
okay.
We shall see.
All right, well, this has been an exciting show. Anybody, before we go, have anything else to plug? Tim, what are you doing next? You have your own show.
Well, yes, I have my own radio show called Artists Exposed with Tim Moss. I am also, and I will announce it on your show.
Good.
I am working on my first internet television show called The Tim Moss Show. And it will be very fun and joy-filled and loving, filled with music and laughter, kind of like the old Carol Burnett show, Dean Martin, like the old variety
I'm
style
subscribing.
Show.
I'm going home and subscribing.
A show where I can go on and prove I can't dance.
Exactly, and it'll be perfect.
And sure, can I jump in with a plug for Reverend Carolyn?
Of course.
Well-trained.
I am well-trained. Everythingssacred.com, and that's everything's sacred. Two S's in there. But she also has a Facebook page that's everything's sacred, or you can look up Reverend Carolyn.
How come we're not friends, Carolyn? I'm devastated.
Let's be friends.
Yes. I think that would be
better. In this moment, I friend you.
For the whole community. I think it has to be official, though. You got to touch your computer, I think. By the way, someone just wrote in, great show. I want to point out it's not over yet. So who knows where it's going from here. But anyway, okay, so that's it for today's show. Actually, it is over. We will be back next week with more stuff. But for now, we're gone.
When it comes to providing guide dogs for people who are blind or visually impaired, one national organization is taking the lead. The Guide Dog Foundation breeds and trains Labradors and Golden Retrievers to help blind and visually impaired people increase their mobility and independence. The foundation provides transportation to its New York campus, the guide dog, a comprehensive training program, and a lifetime of aftercare services, all free of charge. The benefits to training with a guide dog at the Guide Dog Foundation in Smithtown, New York are many. Among them are small class sizes for personalized attention, a long history of excellence in dog breeding, and a highly skilled professional training staff. The foundation offers a comfortable environment and diverse training areas from country walks to city subways. If you or someone you know could benefit from the foundation's free services, call 800-548-4337.
You are listening to the Centani Broadcasting Network, CENTANNI Broadcasting.com, in high definition digital stereo.